you look just as lovely as I remember anyway. So it is a blessing to be here. And Catherine sends her greetings and her love to everyone. So it's a shame she's not able to come here on a little Benjamin, but they're back over there in Gloucestershire. It was brought back to my memory, like it was like old times when I was driving finally up the A470 and it started, the drops of rain started, and I got as far as Pontypridd and it was raining. And I've actually forgotten what rain looks like. But it's lovely to be here. We'll just have a short time in God's Word before the rest of the ministry. And I want to thank you all for praying for us as a family and for the ministry and for all that you do. It's very much appreciated and it really is a blessing. It's such a shame that we are living in strange times and I'm not able to have proper chats with you all. But we'll carry on with God's Word and we'll begin reading in Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. This will be more of a little commentary on some aspects of this passage of Scripture. So it won't be very long, but a bit of a commentary on this and just some things for us to think about and for us to remember the goodness of the Lord. Exodus chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in Let's look at verse 13. The Bible says, "And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, 'Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw.' And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten, and demanded, 'Wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today, as heretofore?' Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, 'Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto us, thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people.' But he said, 'Ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore, ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tally of bricks.' And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, 'Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task.' And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, 'The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savour to be a board in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us.' And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, 'Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.' Then the Lord said unto Moses, 'Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land.' And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, 'I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord.'" We do pray the Lord a blessing, the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Let's come before the Lord again in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you again for this freedom we have here gathered in Bethany to be around your word. We understand that there are those in lands round about where it is illegal or people are persecuted to be gathered around your word as a fellowship of believers, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bless this meeting, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon it, Father, as we look into some of these verses, Lord, and what it means for ancient Israel and what it means for us today. I pray, Lord, as oil is poured from one vessel to another, that you would indeed pour out your spirit and help us to have hearts which are willing to hear and learn and ready wills to obey. And we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful way in which we look back in history and see how you have led your ancient people, Israel. And we do pray for those tonight that they would know thee. And we do thank you, Lord, that how you have blessed thy church, the Christian believers. And we do pray, Lord, that we would give you the glory which is due your holy name. I pray that you would move me aside and out of the way, that the people would hear you speaking and not myself. And Lord, as you indeed did bring out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, your ancient people Israel, I pray, Lord, if there is a burden here tonight, that you would bring each believer out from under it, that they may stand upon the pinnacle, which is the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rest in him and his finished work of grace. We thank you, Lord, and thank you for all your goodness to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And I pray, Lord, once more also that you would help me. I am powerless to preach the word now, but I pray that it would be you speaking and not myself. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want us to picture. I do want to mainly concentrate on chapter 6, the part that we've just read, but I read the last part of chapter 5 as well, and it's a well-known passage of scripture, but I just want us to pick out some words and some phrases in it for us to consider them tonight as a commentary, as it were. And first of all, you know the situation in which the children of Israel were in hard bondage. For, 400 years were they not in bondage. They were there, but they were used to their bondage. They got used to it, and they were used to being in Egypt, as it were, in the place under Pharaoh, which Pharaoh, Egypt, as you know, is a picture. It was real in those ancient days, but today it is a picture of unbelief. It is the picture of the world. It is the picture of sin, or the picture of where we should not be, or where people are, and they need redeeming from. It says in verse 13, the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, and when there was straw, because they had to go out and find their, search in the land for stubble, because they weren't given straw to make all the bricks for Pharaoh, as there were slaves to them, because Moses and Aaron had gone in to Pharaoh and say, we want to let the people go, because we want the people to go out into the wilderness to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. And he said, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Is that not exactly what the world outside these doors say to us today? When you tell them, thus saith the Lord, who is the Lord? That we should be interested in him, and we should be listening to him, and that we should be under his authority. Who is the Lord? He said. And the taskmasters hasted to give them much more burdens. And the officers of the children of Israel, the elders of Israel, they went to Pharaoh. And, they said to the taskmasters, why are you doing this? And they said, because we've been told to by Pharaoh. And they went and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, why do you deal thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto us, in verse 16, unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. You can imagine the not just these elders of Israel, but the people, the slaves, the children of Israel were being brutally beaten. It was a terrible time and a terrible century to live in. Life is just a breeze, isn't it, compared to being a people in bondage and slavery. It's a breeze today compared to that. But he said, ye are idle, idle, he says. Therefore, ye say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go now and work, he says, for there shall no straw be given you. They went and pleaded to Pharaoh, but he wasn't listening. You want to worship this Lord? Let your Lord, Jehovah, solve your problems for you. Just do what you were meant to do for me. "Go therefore now and work," was his answer. And the officers and children of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. Their eyes were open to see that they were in evil case. They had been 400 years in hard bondage, in evil case, but now their eyes were beginning to open. "You shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task," they said. And they met, verse 20, I just want us to picture this, Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way. There was Moses, the man of God, and Aaron, his brother, his mouthpiece, who would speak the things for him, standing in the way as the elders of Israel came back from Pharaoh's grand palace. And the way it says they met them in the way. It's for you to picture the scene. You could imagine the silence as Moses and Aaron were waiting to see what the elders of Israel were going to say to them as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savour to be a board in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put the sword in their hand to slay us." They weren't too pleased with Moses and Aaron, were they? You can say that for sure. They weren't too pleased with the one who had come to deliver them out of the bondage of Egypt. "You've made us to be a board in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of the Egyptians." And more we believers today are a board in the eyes of the world because we do not conform to the image that the world requires. Because as believers, we conform, or we should conform, to the image of Christ. You can use your own imagination for all sorts of things that encompasses. They want to slay us with a sword, it says at the end of verse 21. And Moses returned unto the Lord. So he went back to the Lord. He went back to Jehovah God and said, "Lord." And it's interesting that word "Lord" there, in the Masoretic text, it is small letters, capital L and small O R D, but without going into too much detail, in the primitive text, that was actually Jehovah. They changed it. The people who looked after the text, in other words, they changed it from Jehovah, all capitals, to Adonai, because they didn't want to. It was out of a mistaken reverence, and they didn't want people to read the Bible and see Moses going to the Lord and said, "Lord," as if calling out a name. Out of reverence, they changed it to Adonai. So Jehovah is the name of God. Adonai, I suppose, Lord, his title. But it's there in the original ancient text. It's actually all capitals. You see, Moses went unto the one who he knew his name, Lord. He went unto the one who he was in a way familiar with. He talked to him face to face as a man talks to his friend. Moses had that reverent familiarity with God. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?" He says to him, "Why have you done this to the people? Why have you sent me?" You could imagine the millions of the Israelites before him, looking at him with daggers. "Why have you sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." And it's important, those words, "at all." God had already promised previously, you just have to turn back a page, he would deliver the people, but also that Pharaoh would not listen, but he would harden his heart. But he said he would deliver the people. But he says, "Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." And the words there in the Hebrew, "at all," it's a Hebrewism. He says, "Delivering, thou hast not delivered." It's so emphatic. You couldn't be any more emphatic. "Delivering, thou hast not delivered thy people." He says to Almighty God, to Jehovah God, the one who he knew face to face. He could see the predicament he was in. Then the Lord said unto Moses, I like the thens in the Bible. Then Jehovah said unto Moses. He spoke to him. And what I want us to remember is God, Moses at this time, had spent 40 years as a prince and 40 years as a despised shepherd in the backside of the desert. For 40 years, God, he had been a prince, and the world likes to use princes. The world likes to use mighty men. The world likes to use people who they think are grand and great and all-powerful. But the Lord has to break men. The Lord has to break women. The Lord has to break us if he is to use us. And he sent Moses to the backside of the desert for 40 years to learn the lessons. And it says in, I think it's in the book of Numbers, I don't remember the chapter, but Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. The meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, meekness is the exact opposite of weakness. It's the exact opposite of weakness. Meekness is somebody who is so strong and powerful that they are able to control their strength and power. And some people are strong, some people are powerful, but they're not able to control it. The meek can control it. That's what it means, basically, in the Old Testament regarding Moses. He was the meekest man on the earth. He was controlled his strength. Even so, he was fiery. And even so, all these little episodes that we read in this first part of Exodus, God was chipping away at Moses, beating upon him, cutting him to pieces, that he could eventually use him, even all through the next 40 years into the wilderness, until he gets to the mountain where he spies the whole of the promised land. All of that time, he had to still work upon Moses to beat him down, to reduce him, to little him. I'll use the word little him, not belittle, but little him. John said, he must increase and I must decrease. Then in verse 1 of chapter 6, the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. In one sense, Pharaoh will have a strong hand and send the children of Israel go. But of course we know, ultimately, it's the strong hand of Jehovah God which lifts the people of Israel out of the burden of Egypt into the promised land. And it says, I'll just read that first part of the verse again. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do. Shall we just stop for a moment and think? Each and every one of us here is different. Each and every one of us here is a different person. You have different needs. You have different difficulties. You have different strengths. And we all have different burdens upon our hearts, which we cry out to the Lord. Some, even in an intimate prayer meeting, we wouldn't utter, but only in our own prayer closets alone do we utter these cries and pleas for grace and mercy and help from the throne of grace. And sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes it's 20 years. Sometimes it's 27 years. Sometimes it's 40 years. Whatever it is. But then, when we reach that point where we are at the end of ourselves, when we reach that point where we finally realize that we have no strength to do God's work. We have no strength to live up to his glory. We have no strength to live up to his standards. We have no strength to go on in our walk for him as he would desire us to. Then, when we get to that point, we rest in Christ. We rest on him. We rest on the Lord. And then the Lord says, now, you will see what I will do. Now shalt thou see what I will do. Is there something that's been burdening you for weeks, months, years, decades? You need to wait. You need to wait. It seems a long time, but in eternity, next to eternity, it's nothing. And when we get there, we will look back and see all the ways the Lord has led us. As Moses saw those 40 years that he had been led by the Lord. And then, now shalt thou see what I will do. Whatever it is that is that great thing upon your shoulders at this moment, wait. And finally the Lord will say, now shalt thou see what I will do. He cried unto the Lord, facing the Lord with the millions of Israelites behind him, possibly baying for his blood and his good riddance. Lord, now, the Lord says, shalt thou see what I will do. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him. Now, this is the main part I wanted to look at, really. I'll only be brief on it. And between verse 2 and verse 8 is the great speech which the Lord gives to Moses. And I want to look at the very last four words of verse 2. I am the Lord. So this is what God spake unto Moses, and he said unto him, I am Jehovah. That's the first thing he said. He didn't just start his spiel and say, oh no, I need you to do this, I want you to do this. No. I am the Lord. When we come to the Lord in prayer, in our prayer closets, don't just reel off your shopping list. Stop and know that he is the Lord. He said, I am the Lord. And that should have been enough for Moses. That should have been enough of an answer for Moses. I am the Lord. But he goes on in grace and gives him all these promises. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Jehovah had been revealed previously, but they had not perceived God by his name, Jehovah, and what that means, salvation. And I have also established my covenant with them. So he says, I am the Lord, and he gives this list of promises. Now he's promised that he will, and he has established his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and indeed all their offspring. And just briefly go down to the end of verse 8. He finishes his speech to his announcement to Moses by the same words, right at the end of verse 8, I am the Lord. So between verse 2 and verse 8, all these wonderful covenants and promises are remembered to Moses. And I have also established, verse 4, my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. So he says, I am the Lord. And in this, I am the Lord. Then he goes through all these things. And all of these things are bounded by his name in between verse 2 and verse 8. Everything between verse 2 and verse 8, between the Lord and the Lord. There is none other name. It's between that name. Jehovah, all these things are made good. All these things become effectual, to use a very theological word, which I don't often use. But it is God's way, his name. It's him only, and to him should we seek. And verse 5 again, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. He doesn't say to Moses, when Moses complains to him, he doesn't say, I've heard that, don't worry. He says, first of all, I am the Lord. And again, that should have sufficed Moses. But he says, I am the Lord, and I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. In his name, the Lord, Jehovah, he's remembered his covenant. He's given his covenant, but he also remembers it. And this is what he has to say to the children of Israel. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Again, emphasizing it the second time in this passage. I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. The Lord will bring us out from under the burdens of our Egyptians. You understand what I mean by that, whatever they are. Because I am the Lord. And he says, and I will redeem you. And that's the first time that word redeem is connected with the children of Israel in the Holy Scriptures. With a stretched out arm and with great judgment, my power, I will redeem you. There is no salvation. No salvation whatsoever. There is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other name. I am the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus, Yeshua. Jehovah is my salvation. And I will take you, verse 7, again in this, I am the Lord, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will take you to me to be a people, he says. And verse 8, and I will bring you in unto the land. I will bring you to that land, he says. Literally, it's literal for Israel, a physical, earthly land. For us, the people of God, the heavenly people, the church, it is a heavenly land. Our citizenship is in heaven. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Everything revolves around and depends upon this. I am Jehovah God, and besides me there is none other. I am the Lord. Three times signifying, I believe, clearly the Trinity. I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Lord. And seven signifying, as we read in the book of Revelation, the seven spirits of God. That doesn't mean there's seven Holy Spirits, but it's seven perfections. Let's put it that way, of the Holy Spirit of God. And it says in verse six, from verse 6 to 8, he says, I will, the reason I'm saying is seven, it says, I will, it's unconditional. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you, and I will take you to me to be a people. I am the Lord, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham. I will give it you for an heritage. We have a wonderful heritage. Seven times, unconditionally, God has said to the children of Israel, I will. The perfect number. And he will give us that heritage. We have a wonderful inheritance with the saints in light. We who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of our souls. I am the Lord. It finishes on a bad or a sad note, verse 9. I'll just read the first part of verse 9. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not. They hearkened not. It's the story of the children of Israel. And let's be honest, it's the story of each and every one of us as individuals here are gathered today, and anyone listening to this on the internet. But the children of Israel hearkened not. They hearkened not for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. But they just had to trust by faith that the Lord would redeem them out of that bondage. I am the Lord. All those wonderful, wonderful promises given by Almighty God, the covenant God, Jehovah God, to his people, Israel. And they will all yet and into the future hold true. Israel is in the land, and Israel will once again be in the land. That's prophecy, isn't it? We won't talk about prophecy now, but it's all true when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and rules and reigns for 1,000 years from Jerusalem in what we call the millennium. I am the Lord, and he shall be there in the midst of his children. Israel, and all who are believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they hearkened not unto Moses. Let us not hearken not this evening. Let us hearken to the words of God. And as the Lord said to Moses in verse 1, now shalt thou see what I will do. There is coming a time when your prayer, that great burden, that great desire and requirement or need upon your very soul will be answered in abundant blessing. Maybe not as you want it, but it will be answered. And when you are glorified, you will understand all. Now shalt thou see what I will do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time gathered around your word. We thank you for the great and encouraging example that we have in Scripture of the children of Israel. Encouraging in the sense that you bless them so wonderfully, yet they are a picture of us in that we are so wayward in our walk with thee. Father, we thank you for the wonderful encouragements that we have in Scripture and for the promises that we have, that we can be born again by simple repentance of our sins and belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that blood that washes away our sins is good now and for eternity. And we thank you for this, and we thank you that we serve a risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the only one under heaven given among men, that only name whereby we must be saved. Bless us now, Lord, we pray, as we ponder upon these few thoughts in our hearts and when we go separate ways and upon the remainder of this meeting. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Amen. I just want to be an encouragement. I want to.